1 Kings chapter number 17. Here in the chapter before us, we are introduced to one of the greatest men of God that ever walked across the pages of the Word of God, a man by the name of Elijah. And as you and I study our Bible, we discover that Elijah is introduced to us in a very dramatic fashion, to say the least. He can be seen in the text before us striding right into King Ahab's court and informing him as a result of his and Israel's idolatrous living that God was going to send a famine to the land. As you and I read on into this chapter, we will eventually discover that is exactly what God did. However, even in the time of famine, God had a plan to provide for His man. And can I stop right there long enough to say, God always has a plan. And God's plan is always revealed in the pages of His Word. God had a plan for Elijah. God begins to reveal that plan to the man of God in verse number 3 of this chapter. There, God tells him, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." And of course, the Bible goes on to teach us that Elijah, having not only heard God's word, but having determined to heed God's word, does exactly what the Lord had instructed him to do. And as a result of him not only hearing but heeding the word of God, just as God had told him, the old scavenger birds brought him bread and flesh in the morning. They brought him bread and flesh in the evening. And the Bible teaches us that Elijah drank from the cool, refreshing waters of the brook Cherith. However, after a while, because there had been no rain in the land, the brook began to dry up. And therefore, beginning with verse number 8 of this chapter, God's plan of survival for Elijah in the midst of famine begins to change. And that's where our reading begins this morning in verse number 8 of this, the 17th chapter of the book of 1 Kings. If you're able, would you please stand as we read the Bible together? 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." And so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. With the help of the Lord this morning, I want to preach the first part of a two-part series of messages today that I have entitled, "Blessings at the Bottom of the Barrel." Preacher, truth be known. Truth be known. Most of our giving today, if we would all be honest, is from the top of the barrel. But this woman's blessing, the greatest blessing, came from giving not from the top of the barrel, but from the bottom of the barrel. I'm preaching this entire day on the thought, blessings at the bottom of the barrel. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you for what you have already done today here at Central. Now I pray you continue to work in a mighty way and we'll give you glory. Help me, I pray. I'm nothing without thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. Please be seated. Every time I'm blessed to read this true story in the Bible, I never cease to be amazed how that God many times uses miracles like this in His Word in order to teach us some of the most practical, some of the most profitable truths in all of the Bible. I submit to you that is exactly what God is doing here in the chapter to which the Lord has led us this morning, especially when it comes to this matter of giving by faith. In fact, here in the chapter before us, I believe we witness God sending Elijah to an unlikely place to meet an unlikely person in order that he might experience what the world would call an unlikely provision. Remember, it was by the brook Cherith, a stream in Gilead east of Jordan, that God sent the ravens to feed Elijah. The Word of God teaches us that he ate bread and flesh in the morning. He ate bread and flesh in the evening. And that he drank from the waters of the brook at least until the water began to dry up as a result of the famine that God had sent to the land. And then we have record of God sending Elijah to a little town of the Mediterranean coast between Tyre and Sidon, a place by the name of Zarephath. We've read about it here in the chapter before us this morning. After the man of God comes to the gate of the city, he sees a little widow woman gathering some sticks there, and he calls to her according to verse 10 and says, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." Now, before I read any more of the text, let me remind you, it's important for us to remember while considering the Word of God before us, there is a famine going on at this time. Water is very scarce. Water is very precious. Yet Elijah shows up and he says to this dear woman, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And then as she was going to fetch it, he calls to her again and he says, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." That leads us to the widow's response in verse 12. She turns to the man of God, no doubt, and says, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that we may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." But again, notice the man of God's response in verse 13. Elijah says to her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And again, the Word of God teaches us that God was as good as His Word. How many of you know this morning God is always as good as His Word? And we can know that to be the case in this little woman's life because verse 15 goes on to say, as a result of the woman's obedience to the Word of God, as a result of her determining not only to hear but to heed what thus saith the Lord, the Bible says that she and he and her house did eat many days.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, surely you would agree with me this morning when I say what we witness here in the text in which the Lord has led us to this morning is nothing less than a mighty miracle of the Lord. We witness the thrice holy God of glory taking a little bit and turning a little bit into more than enough. We witness God taking gloom and turning gloom into glory. We witness God taking poverty and turning poverty into plenty. I said it before. I believe the truth bears repeating tonight. We witness God sending His man to an unlikely place to meet an unlikely person in order that he might experience what the world today would call an unlikely provision. A provision, mind you, that ultimately came to pass because of one little woman's determination to give by faith. I submit to you, this woman sets a great example for each and every one of God's children today, because when she gave, she was giving by faith. Please allow me this Lord's Day to call your attention to the fact this woman was not giving out of abundance. She was not giving because she could afford to give. She wasn't giving from the top of the barrel. She was giving from the bottom of the barrel. She's not even giving because she's going to receive a donation receipt at the end of the year to help her with her taxes. She is giving by faith. She is giving by faith in the word that God had already given her through the ministry of Elijah. And therefore, for just a few moments this morning, and for a few more moments in the service tonight, there are a few truths directly from your King James Bible that I want to call your attention to. First of all, and we're not going to get beyond the first point of the message this morning, I want to call your attention, if I may, to the challenges she faced in her giving. The challenges she faced in her giving. And before we begin to dig into the scriptures this morning, please allow me to say to every member of the Central Baptist Church of Ocala, Florida, there will always be challenges you will face in your giving. If you are waiting until you pay the car off, then chances are you will never know, you will never experience the joy of giving by faith over and above your regular tithes and offerings, as the preacher has taught us so well this week, so that others could hear the gospel. There will always be challenges you and I will face when it comes to this matter of giving. If you are waiting until you burn the note on your house, then chances are you will never know the joy, the blessing, the great benefit in so many ways of giving so that others could hear the gospel. If you are waiting until you pay that doctor off you've been seeing for the last year, I personally believe he's going to make it his goal in life that you'll never pay him off. You will never know the joy of giving by faith for the sake of others. There will always be challenges when it comes to this matter of giving by faith. Now, before we go off the air today on WTYG, and before we dismiss the service here this morning, I want to call your attention to three challenges this little woman faced. First of all, consider the challenge of her place. The Bible teaches us this morning she is dwelling in a certain place. And it goes to great lengths to teach us where that place was. She is living in a place called Zarephath. Now, if you'll notice in verse 9, Zarephath belonged to Zidon, which in turn was the hometown of Queen Jezebel, Ahab's wife. Why, it's no wonder God sent the man of God there, as it would have been one of the most unlikely places that he would have ever gone. Ahab would have never thought of looking for the man of God at Zarephath. I mean, after all, Zarephath was a Gentile town filled with worshipers of the fertility god Baal. If this woman gives as she lives in this place called Zarephath, it would not be because she follows the suit of everyone else that lives in Zarephath. She is going to set the standard when it comes to giving by faith. The challenge of her place. Consider the challenge of her position. Of course, as a widow, she is in a very difficult place at very best. And I say that because in the society of the day and hour in which she was living, women were largely dependent upon the men of their lives to take care of them. They depended upon men to provide shelter, food, and protection. But let me remind you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, this little woman's husband had died. Consider the challenge of her position. We also know from studying verse number 12 that she had a son. So she is not only a widow, she is not only in charge solely of providing for her own self, now she's got a son to provide for as well. Consider the challenge of her position. Now, in the law for God's people in Israel, God commanded His people to look after the poor. But in Zarephath, the people there had no such connection to the law. The poor in most Gentile nations at this time, brother, they were on their own. Consider the challenge of her position. Not only her place, but her position. Consider the challenge of her poverty. If you're wondering just how poor this little woman was, take a look at verse 10. When Elijah shows up, he isn't asking for a glass full of water. He isn't asking for a pitcher of water. He is asking for a little water. You know why? Because he had discernment and wisdom enough to know this woman doesn't have a lot of water. So we only ask for a little. If you're wondering how poor she was, look at verse 11. When the man of God asked for a piece of bread, he isn't asking for a loaf of bread. He isn't asking for a sandwich. He's asking for a morsel. You know why he didn't ask for a loaf? He had wisdom enough and discernment enough to know this woman didn't have a loaf of bread. She didn't have a lot of bread. She just had a little. The famine had affected this woman physically as well as financially. When Elijah asked for the morsel of bread, the widow replies by saying, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not an cake, but a what? A handful of meal in the barrel." Consider the comparison between a handful of meal and an empty barrel. She said to the man of God, "All I have is a handful of meal in a barrel." And did you notice she didn't have a lot of oil? She said, "I got a little oil in a cruse." And at the very moment this conversation takes place, according to verse 12, she is outside and she's not gathering a bundle of sticks. She's not gathering a trailer load of sticks. The Bible goes to great lengths to teach us that she is gathering two sticks. She didn't even have firewood for cooking, much less for warmth. Not a lot of water, a little water. Not a lot of oil, a little oil. Not a lot of meal, just a little meal. Consider the challenge of her poverty. She intends to take those sticks and use them to cook one last meal for her and her son. Why, you can almost hear the desperation in her trembling voice as she responds to the man of God in verse 12. Her situation seems hopeless to say the least. A Gentile widow woman with a son to provide for. No husband. Not a lot of firewood, a little firewood. Not a lot of oil, just a little oil. Not a lot of meal, just a little meal. Not a lot of bread, just a little bit. I've said it two different times. I mean to be repetitive here. I'm really not losing my mind regardless of what you may think. But what we have record in the text is this. God sends a man of God to an unlikely person, to an unlikely place, because God is getting ready to make an unlikely provision. God always likes to work when his young'uns' backs are against the wall. So you're going to have to come back tonight to see what happens. Because it's 4 minutes to 12. And I know what you think when 12 comes. But I will close with a true story. Lord willing, Brother Allen, next Sunday morning, I keep forgetting when I get down here, those folks up there can't see me. So let me stand out here. Lord willing, next Sunday morning, Cassie and I will begin a missions conference in Seagrove, North Carolina. And we look forward to that. The last time we were there, I preached one night on faith promise and giving by faith for the sake of others. And I told some stories, and if you'll come back tonight, I'll share a few more with you about how God will give through you to give what he would never give to you to keep. After I preached that night, a young mother in the church came back to the table. And with tears in her eyes, she said to Miss Cassie, "Can I tell you my story?" And Cassie said, "Oh, I'd love to hear your faith promise story." She said, "Well, your husband was here a few years ago, and he taught from the Bible about giving by faith for the sake of others, over and above your regular tithes and offerings. We had already been given pretty much off the top of the barrel for missions. But that year, God burned me and my husband's heart to give more, to start giving from the bottom of the barrel, to start giving what only God could provide, and to exercise our faith more than we've ever exercised it before." And so we sat down at the table and we began to pray. How can we give more money to missions? Of course, we want to do our part if we expect God to do His. We want to be wise stewards with our money. So let's sit down here with our monthly budget and let's see if we can make any more room in the monthly budget for our missions giving. And so her and her husband sat down and they discovered something. They discovered together, you know what? We could save a little money here if we'd cut back on the meat a little. It astounds me somebody would be willing to do that, to send a missionary to plant a church and preach the gospel, but that's what they did. They cut back on their meat for them and the children in their monthly budget. She said, here's the fascinating part of that story. The very night that we were sitting at the table seeing if there was a way in our monthly budget we could make more room for missions, my dad, which is a lost man, was watching TV. And there was a commercial that came on TV about the Omaha Steak Company. Now, some of you have seen those commercials. Man, I'm telling you, by the time they get through with those commercials, you're ready to throw money at them. I mean, they make those steaks and those things that they make it seem so good, so tempting. So my daddy was watching that commercial. After the commercial was over, they gave a 1-800 number where if you were interested in purchasing, there would be someone to talk to you at that time. My dad picked up the phone and placed a call and said, "Yes, I'd like to order the biggest package of T-bone steaks and filet mignons that you have." And they said, "Well, yes, sir. Well, where do you want us to send it to?" He said, "Well, I just want to do something special for my daughter and my wife and my son-in-law." And he sent them the best package of meat that Omaha Steaks had. As they were sitting at the table, determining to take meat out of their budget so that others could hear the gospel. You know what they did? They started giving from the bottom of the barrel. And when they started giving from the bottom of the barrel, do you want to know what they discovered? You can't outgive God. Now, I'm not going to preach my message tonight right now, but let me just give you a little heads up. Maybe this will get you back here in the service tonight. Tonight, we're going to see this little woman made a choice. You know what she chose to do? She chose to start giving by faith. She started giving from the bottom of the barrel. And when she'd take a handful out, God put a handful in. And she'd take another handful out, and God put another handful in. God gave through her. That's right. That's language I understand, being from the foothills of North Carolina. Whoa! God gave through her to give what He would have never given to her to keep. Can I ask you this? And I'm through. You've listened so well. You got any faith promise stories? Because I assure you, if you give Him by faith, you do. Oh, you remember that year the devil tried to convince you, you don't need to give that much money to missions? Why, you'll starve to death. I'm looking around this auditorium, I ain't seeing many people starving to death. You remember what the devil said? Oh, you'll never make your house payment. Here you are. They've not kicked you out yet. They've not repossessed it yet. You remember when the devil said, "It's not worth it, it's not worth it." But you took your eyes off of what was temporal and you fixed your eyes on the eternal. And when you opened your eyes of faith, you were blessed to see what this little woman saw. You saw little turning into much. And you saw poverty turning into plenty. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. There is blessings at the bottom of the barrel. You've listened so well. Would you bow your head with me?